Welcome to the Deep Dive. We take your complex research, unpack it, and give you the essential insights fast. Today, we're diving headfirst into cybersecurity. I mean, it affects everything, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. Everywhere.
From your personal phone data to, you know, the massive global systems running our world, it's all digital now.
Right. And this huge push, digital transformation, cloud migration, remote work, it's completely changed the game.
Changed the game and, well, opened up a whole lot of new doors for cyber threats, right?
Exactly. Vast new opportunities, which is why it's not just some IT problem anymore.
No, it's board level.
Yeah.
Existential, really.
It's fundamental. This digital shift isn't just theory. It's a total reshaping of business, life, everything. And that reshaping brings, well, a bigger attack surface, new weak spots we're still finding, and smarter attackers.
A constant batter.
A relentless one, yeah, for digital integrity.
And right in the middle of this critical, fast-moving sector, our deep dive today focuses on Checkpoint Software Technologies. NASDAQ ticker, CHKP. And this isn't just about one company's balance sheet. It's a window into a whole industry that's really in flux. And Checkpoint itself, it's at a major crossroads.
That's the perfect way to put it. You've given us this really deep investment analysis report, tons of data, market trends, financial details. It's rich. So our job today is to unpack all that, pull out the key nuggets, help you, our listener, understand not just Checkpoint, but the bigger forces shaping its story.
Okay, so let's get straight to that core tension, the sort of defining paradox of Checkpoint.
Yeah.
Because it really is fascinating. On one side, you have this company that is just incredibly profitable, like almost unbelievably so.
Right. The report calls it a bastion of profitability, a real cash machine in the cybersecurity world.
Which sounds great. I mean, who wouldn't want
that? Oh, absolutely. Their financial discipline is something else. Many software companies, they can only dream of those margins. But, and this is the big but, that same highly profitable, financially conservative company, it's dealing with pretty slow growth, mid-single digits.
Mid-single digits, which really lags behind its peers, right? The faster ones, the more aggressive ones.
Significantly lags. These other players are often less profitable, maybe even loss-making on a GAAP basis, but they're growing much, much faster.
So that's the central question, isn't it? Can this financial powerhouse, this legacy player, actually pivot? Can it accelerate growth enough to really compete head-on in today's market?
That's the billion-dollar question. And it's more than just strategy. It's almost a philosophical difference you see in cybersecurity. Checkpoint seems to be betting on stability, maybe that loyal customer base, in a really turbulent environment.
While the others are just racing ahead.
Racing to capture the future, yeah. Maybe sacrificing some of that short-term profit discipline to do it. It suggests, you know, potentially very different views on how you dominate this industry long term.
Okay, let's really dig into that landscape then.
Yeah.
Because understanding the overall cybersecurity imperative is crucial. The demand, it's not just strong. The report says it's basically unstoppable.
Unstoppable is right. It's moved way beyond being just an IT line item you can cut when times get tough.
Right.
It's now, as the source material puts it, a mission-critical board-level priority for literally everyone. Every organization.
That's the absolute key. The demand isn't really cyclical. It doesn't just disappear in a recession.
Exactly. Think about it. Economy booming, economy contracting. Does the need to protect your digital stuff go away? Your IP, customer data, your basic operations?
No way. If anything, it gets more intense, right?
Yeah.
Bad actors get busier in downturns.
Precisely. They look for new angles when traditional economies slow down. So it's a fundamental business priority now, totally baked in.
And the market size reflects that. We're talking huge numbers. Current estimates for 2024, 2025, somewhere between, what, $243 billion and $302 billion globally.
Staggering figures. And that's just the start.
Just the start.
Yeah, the projections out to the end of the decade, they range anywhere from $434 billion to maybe even $878 billion.
Wow. That range itself tells a story.
It really does. It shows how fast things are moving and how broad cybersecurity is becoming. But even if you take the middle ground, that points to a solid compound annual growth rate, CAGR, of around 12-13%.
That's a serious tailwind.
A powerful one for anyone in this space, yeah.
Geographically, North America is the biggest market right now, which, you know, makes sense. Mature economy, lots of digital stuff.
True. But what's really interesting in the research is that Asia Pacific consistently comes up as the fastest growing region.
Okay, why is that?
Well, rapid economic development, more people getting online, booming digital economies across the board there, it's clearly where a lot of the future growth and new customer potential lies for these companies.
Makes sense. So what are the specific forces driving all this incredible growth? The report highlights a few key ones. Digital transformation and cloud adoption seem like the big ones.
Oh, absolutely huge. Businesses aren't just dipping their toes in the cloud anymore. They're moving core operations, critical apps, tons of sensitive data, public cloud, private, hybrid, you name it.
And the security impact of that.
Profound. It massively expands the corporate attack surface, that old idea of a secure network perimeter like castle walls.
Yeah.
It basically dissolves. Instead of one main fortress, you've got operations spread everywhere, countless entry points, new vulnerabilities popping up constantly. Old security models just can't keep up.
And the data supports that.
Overwhelmingly. Something like 95% of enterprises use at least one public cloud now. So you absolutely need cloud-native security. Stuff designed from the ground up for these dynamic, distributed cloud setups.
The castle analogy really works. It's not one fortress, it's this sprawling kingdom with new villages and roads everywhere. Much harder to secure.
Precisely. And that leads right into the next driver. Remote and hybrid work. The pandemic didn't just start it, it made it permanent.
The new normal.
Absolutely. And that just dismantled the old office-centric security model, you know, where everyone inside the firewall was assumed to be safe.
Gone.
Which drove this rapid, almost desperate adoption of zero trust ideas. We'll get more into that in SaaS solutions. Secure Access Service Edge.
I see, it's right.
Yeah, these basically combine networking and security in the cloud because the user, their device, the apps they access, that's the new perimeter, not the building.
Okay, so you've got the expanding surface, the distributed workforce,
yeah,
and then there's the threats themselves, right?
Yeah.
They're getting worse.
Oh, much worse. Not just more frequent, but way more sophisticated. And the impact is bigger. You've got everyone from individual cybercriminals to organized ransomware gangs, even nation states doing espionage or attacking critical infrastructure.
And they're using smarter techniques.
Definitely. Things like double extortion ransomware, they encrypt your data and steal it, threatening to leak it if you don't pay.
Nasty.
Really nasty. Plus, complex supply chain attacks, remember SolarWinds, hitting companies through trusted partners. And now, AI-driven attacks are emerging, making it harder to spot fakes, harder to predict the next move.
And the cost. I remember seeing a staggering figure.
Astronomical is the word. Global cybercrime costs projected to soar from, what was it, $3 trillion in 2015 to an estimated $10.5 trillion by 2025.
$10.5 trillion. That's a 300% jump in just 10 years.
It's mind-blowing. And it makes cybersecurity not just a tech issue, but a fundamental economic and even national security problem. Companies just have to invest. There's no real choice.
And that pressure is amplified by regulations, right? GDPR and things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Stricter data privacy laws globally mean big fines for messing up. Like that $370 million fine TikTok got for GDPR violations in 2023.
Ouch, yeah.
That kind of financial and reputational hit forces companies to invest proactively in security just to avoid disaster. It literally drives budget decisions.
Okay, so beyond those big drivers, there are also key technology shifts happening. AI and machine learning, AML, that's huge, right?
Yeah.
But it cuts both ways.
It really does. The report calls AI a transformational force. And it is, but for both sides, the attackers and the defenders.
An arms race.
Exactly. Attackers use AI for super convincing deepfake phishing or malware that adapts to avoid detection. But defenders, they're using AI and ML to analyze massive data streams in real time, spot tiny anomalies, predict threats, automate responses.
Does it actually work? Make a difference.
It seems so. IBM found companies using security, AI, and automation extensively had data breach costs that were, on average, $1.88 million lower. That's a 33% difference. Significant.
Wow. Okay.
So yeah, it's an AI arms race. It's the new weaponry. Everyone needs it.
And we mentioned zero trust architecture, ZTA. That's moving from buzzword to standard practice.
Pretty much. It's a total shift in thinking. Away from trust but verify, the old perimeter model. Never trust, always verify.
Never trust, always verify, even people inside the network.
Especially people inside the network. No user, no device gets trusted by default. Every single access request needs constant verification based on identity, context, what they're allowed to do, least privilege.
And adoption is high.
Very high. Like 96% of organizations are looking at ZTA, 81% planning to implement it within a year. According to recent data, it's becoming fundamental.
Okay. And then cloud native security, CNAPP, cloud native application protection platforms.
Right. As apps move to containers, serverless, Security needs to be built for the cloud too, not just adapted.
So CNAPP integrates different cloud security tools.
Exactly. Things like managing your cloud settings securely, that's CSPM, and protecting the actual applications running in the cloud, CWPP. CNAPP pulls these together into one platform, security from the code writing stage all the way to runtime in the cloud. It's essential now.
And looking even further out, quantum computing. That sounds like science fiction, but it's a real threat.
It's a real long-term risk, yeah. Still emerging, but potentially devastating.
How so?
A powerful quantum computer could, in theory, break most of the encryption we rely on today instantly. Banking, communications, everything.
Yikes.
Yeah. So there's this urgent push now for post-quantum cryptography, PQC, encryption that quantum computers can't break.
And companies are actually planning for this already.
They are. A 2024 study found 61% plan to migrate to PQC within 5 years. It just shows how far ahead security folks need to think. It's relentless.
Truly relentless. Okay, last big trend. Industry consolidation. The platformization imperative. The industry used to be super fragmented, right? Thousands of vendors.
Totally fragmented. A point solution for everything, which creates massive headaches for security teams trying to manage dozens of different tools.
Integration nightmares. Alert fatigue.
Exactly. So customers are pushing back. They want fewer vendors. They want broad integrated platforms that cover multiple areas from one console. Simplicity.
And that's driving M&A. Mergers and acquisitions.
Big time. M&A was high through 2024, strong rebound in Q2 2025. Big players are buying up smaller companies to build out their platforms faster. Cloud security, identity security operations. This whole platform trend is critical. If you can build or buy a comprehensive platform, you're much better placed to grab a bigger slice of the security budget, which leads to higher valuations for these high-growth platform vendors.
And this is exactly where Checkpoint's story really comes into focus, right? Navigating this shift from products to platforms.
Precisely. It sets the stage perfectly.
All right. That context is vital. So now let's really zero in on Checkpoint's place in this dog-eat-dog competitive world. They're pioneers, inventors of the commercial firewall, still a major name, strong reputation.
Undeniably. But we keep coming back to that dichotomy.
The profitability versus growth thing.
Exactly. Paragon of profitability, yes. Enviable margins. But that mid-single-digit growth, it lags the market significantly.
Which means they're losing market share, even if revenues are technically going up.
That's the consequence, yeah. Gradual market share erosion. And that leads to lower valuation multiples compared to the faster growers, even if those growers aren't as profitable. It's not just about what they are now, but what the market thinks they can become. Speed matters here.
So the core challenge for Checkpoint and for their new CEO is, how do you juice that growth? How do you pivot from being mainly a firewall box company to a modern, integrated, cloud-first platform? Their answer is this Infinity architecture.
Right, and to see how hard that pivot is, you need to look at the competition. We can kind of group them. First, the other big platform players, Palo Alto Networks, PAN-W, and Fortinet, FTNT.
They also started in network security, like Checkpoint.
Yep. But they've moved much more aggressively into building broad platforms across network, cloud, security operations. And crucially, they deliver much higher growth numbers. They're seen as more agile, better at capturing new market share.
Okay, then, the cloud-native disruptors. CrowdStrike, CRWD, Zscaler, ZS.
These guys were born in the cloud, built their tech from scratch for modern distributed setups. CrowdStrike basically owns modern endpoint security now. Zscaler is the pioneer in CZs.
And they're a threat because they don't have legacy baggage.
Exactly. Architecturally and business model-wise, they're built differently. That's a real challenge for incumbents like Checkpoint who have to manage that transition.
You've also got the big diversified players like Cisco, CSCO.
Huge footprint, massive sales force, broad security portfolio, mostly bought through acquisitions. They're always a competitor because of their scale and existing relationships. But their security innovation often struggles to keep up with the pure plays.
And then just a whole bunch of smaller niche players.
Tons of them. Juniper, SonicWall, Sophos. Specializing in certain segments, often competing hard on price, especially in the mid-market, it's a crowded, noisy space.
So the market share numbers really tell the story of Checkpoint's challenge, this show-me problem.
They do. While Checkpoint is growing, its slice of the pie is shrinking relative to the fast movers.
And that Canalys data from Q1 2023. Palo Alto Networks at 8.7%, Fortinet 7.0%, and the real kicker, CrowdStrike at 3.6% had already edged past Checkpoint's 3.5%.
Yeah, that's a big deal, especially considering CrowdStrike is much younger. It doesn't mean Checkpoint is failing, their business is large and profitable, but it clearly shows they're losing ground, relatively speaking, growing slower than the market and key competitors. It's an underperformance issue, like running a race but falling further behind the leaders each lap.
Even in their traditional stronghold, firewalls.
Yep, network security, still their biggest segment, but it's mature, and PAN-W and Fortinet are fighting tooth and nail there. Intense competition.
And endpoint security, dominated by CrowdStrike.
Pretty much. IDC data from mid-2022 put CrowdStrike way ahead in modern endpoint security with nearly 18% share. Checkpoint has Harmony Endpoint. They compete, but they're not a leader there. Big hill to climb.
And cloud security, the critical growth area. Palo Alto's Prisma Cloud and the Cloud Natives are leading that charge.
That's the general consensus, yeah. Specific share data is tricky, but PAN-W and the specialists are seen as setting the pace in cloud security innovation and adoption. Checkpoint needs to win here with CloudGuard.
So how do they differentiate? What are Checkpoint's strengths, their moats?
Well, their brand is strong. Long history, reputation for solid, reliable tech, that prevention-first philosophy. Their pitch is often unified management, the Infinity platform consolidating network, cloud, user security.
And the installed base.
Yeah.
Over 100,000 organizations.
That's arguably their biggest moat. Huge, loyal customer base, creates stickiness, gives them opportunities to cross-sell subscriptions, and financially, that unmatched profitability and cash flow provides stability few others have.
Okay, how about the others? Palo Alto.
Perceived as the innovation leader. Successfully transitioned to that three-platform model, Strata, Prisma, Cortex. Very effective go-to-market. And they use aggressive M&A, like that rumored $20 billion bid for CyberArk, to buy best-of-breed tech and expand fast.
Fortinet.
Their custom chips, the SPUs, give them a hardware performance edge, especially appealing in the mid-market on price performance. Their security fabric is also about a broad, integrated portfolio for consolidation.
And CrowdStrike.
Pure cloud-native architecture. Single lightweight agent, cloud-based threat graph for analysis, seen as highly scalable, very effective, plus a super efficient subscription business model. They really defined modern endpoint detection and response.
So it's not just features, it's different philosophies, different business models battling it out.
Totally. Checkpoint's bet is on unified reliability. Palo Alto's on aggressive platform expansion via M&A. CrowdStrike's on cloud-native agility and data insights. Each has picked their strategy. And for Checkpoint, it highlights that the challenge is cultural and strategic, not just tech.
And the numbers make that trade-off crystal clear. Checkpoint's profitability. GAAP operating margin 33.7% TTM. That's amazing.
Incredible. Compare that to PAN-W at 11.1% or CrowdStrike, which is still negative GAAP OPM. Checkpoint's gross margins too, over 88%. Masters of efficiency.
But then growth. Checkpoint TTM revenue growth 6.4%. PAN-W 13.9%. Fortinet around 26%. CrowdStrike nearly 40%.
That's the stark contrast. This table nails the dilemma. Checkpoint gets phenomenal margins but sacrifices growth. Peers chase growth, often sacrificing near-term GAAP profit.
And the market clearly prefers the growth story in this sector.
Overwhelmingly, it's not just about revenue. It's seen as a proxy for innovation, agility, staying ahead in that arms race. Slow growth, even profitable slow growth, can look like vulnerability. So as an investor, you're choosing stability and cash flow now, or market capture and potential future dominance.
Okay, let's shift gears and break down Checkpoint's actual financial engine and this business model transition they're trying to navigate. Their revenue comes from three main buckets, and the mix is changing.
Right. First is the traditional products and licenses. Hardware firewalls, the Quantum series, and perpetual software licenses. This part can be lumpy, revenue recognized upfront, tied to hardware refresh cycles.
And the big one, security subscriptions.
Yeah.
This is where the growth is supposed to come from, right? The core of the pivot.
Exactly. This is recurring revenue. Services like advanced threat prevention, CloudGuard for cloud security, Harmony for user endpoint security. Recognized steadily over time. Much more predictable, much more valuable to investors.
And the third bucket.
Software updates, maintenance, and services. Basically, the ongoing support contracts tied to that huge installed base of hardware. Stable, predictable, recurring revenue, but not really a growth driver. It's the annuity from past sales.
Looking at Q2 2025 results, yeah. Total revenue $665 million, up 6% year over year. Okay. But interestingly, products and licenses grew 12% year over year to $132 million. That seems strong for the legacy part.
It is surprisingly strong. It could mean new products are landing well, or maybe a temporary bump from a refresh cycle. It's positive because selling new hardware gives them a beachhead to sell those crucial subscriptions later. It shows they can still win new deals or expand hardware with existing customers.
Right, and security subscriptions is the key part. $298 million, up 10% year over year. Solid growth there.
Yeah.
And now it's about 45% of total revenue.
Yep, almost half. That shows definite progress on the strategic shift towards recurring revenue. That percentage needs to keep climbing.
And software updates maintenance, $235 million, roughly flat, as expected for a mature stream.
Yes, exactly. Stable, but the focus has to be accelerating those subscriptions. 10% is good, but is it enough compared to peers growing cloud segments much faster?
Good point. Okay, beyond revenue, let's talk KPIs. Forward-looking indicators, calculated billings is a big one.
Crucial one. It's total revenue plus the change in deferred revenue. Basically, a proxy for new business activity, new sales, renewals that hasn't hit the revenue line yet.
And in Q2 2025, billings grew 4% year over year to $642 million.
Right. And here's the potential yellow flag. Billings growth at 4% is lagging revenue growth at 6%.
Why is that a concern?
Well, one quarter isn't a trend, but if it continues, it could mean future revenue growth might slow down. It's just maybe those strong product sales aren't translating into equally strong long-term subscription commitments, like making your quarterly number but not building the pipeline for next year. Something to watch closely.
Okay. Another KPI, remaining performance obligation, or RPO, the backlog of contracted future revenue.
Yep. This is the total value of stuff they've already sold but haven't recognized revenue for yet.
Yeah.
Non-cancelable contracts. It gives you visibility.
And their RPO was $2.4 billion end of Q2 2025, up 6% year over year. That sounds pretty solid.
It is solid. Provides good visibility, a level of predictability, which investors like, shows a decent backlog.
Now, let's circle back to that hallmark profitability and cash flow. This is where Checkpoint truly shines. Operating margins. Just incredible.
Best in class, really. Q2 2025, GAAP OPM 31%, non-GAAP 41%. Among the highest in all of software, not just security, it's proof of their discipline, efficient model.
But is it too good? Does it signal underinvestment?
That's a strategic question. In a market screaming for growth investment, sales, marketing, R&D, especially in cloud and AI, are these sky-high margins actually holding them back? Are they underspending compared to peers pouring 20%, 30% or more of revenue back into growth initiatives?
The new leadership has a tough choice.
Exercise.
Maintain margins or invest for growth, potentially hitting profits short term.
Exactly. It's a huge strategic decision. What's the right balance? Can they find a way to accelerate growth without completely sacrificing that profitability? Very tricky.
They're also amazing cash generators. Q2 2025, cash flow from ops was $262 million, up 31% year over year.
Prolific cash generation. Gives them loads of firepower for share buybacks, which they love, and those bolt-on acquisitions.
And geographically, they're diversified. America's 40%. EMEA 50%, APAC 10%.
Yep, good global spread. Mitigates risk from any one region having a downturn. That's a definite strength.
Okay, let's look closer at the growth picture in this new leadership era. Historically, growth has been uneven. You called it a sawtooth.
Yeah, that fits. FY21 up 5%. FY22 accelerated to 8%. Then FY23 slowed to 4%. FY24 back up to 6%.
Suggests they're still tied to those hardware cycles.
Seems like it. If the subscription transition was fully successful, you'd expect smoother, more predictable growth. The secure subscriptions part is growing better 14% in 2023, so the shift is happening, but maybe the overall pace needs to pick up.
And the key vehicle for that is the cloud transformation via Checkpoint Infinity, their unified platform.
That's the plan. Consolidate everything under Infinity across three pillars to provide that unified security story.
Those pillars are
Checkpoint Quantum, securing networks, data centers, the evolution of their firewall business, Checkpoint CloudGuard for cloud environments, workloads, apps, absolutely critical for growth, and Checkpoint Harmony, securing remote users, devices, access endpoint, email, SE.
And management is pinning hopes on CloudGuard and Harmony for future growth.
Definitely. They consistently highlight momentum there. They know that's where the high growth markets are.
Now, innovation and M&A, Checkpoint seems more measured, conservative, compared to others.
I think that's fair. Strong organic R&D history. Yes. Q2 2025 R&D was $112.8 million, 17% of revenue. Substantial money.
But maybe lower as a percentage of sales than hypergrowth peers?
Typically, yes. Peers might be pushing 20-25% plus Bellinat and M&A. Checkpoint prefers these strategic bolt-ons, smaller deals to fill specific tech gaps.
Like Perimeter 81 for SaaS Speak, $490. Atmosec for SaaS security, Veriti for posture management.
Exactly. Contrast that with PanW's rumored $20 billion plus play for CyberArk. totally different scale and ambition in M&A.
So Checkpoint's approach is financially safer, maybe, but does it move the needle enough?
That's the debate. Is it prudent financial management, or is it too little, too late to really change market perception? Does it keep them looking like a fast follower instead of a shaper of the market? That measured approach likely contributes to their valuation discount, stability versus disruption potential.
Are there other avenues for growth, market expansion?
Yeah, a few obvious ones. The small and medium business SMB market. Checkpoint has been very enterprise focused historically. SMB is often faster growing. Maybe simpler integrated offerings could work there.
New verticals.
Yeah.
Industry spending more.
Definitely. Healthcare stands out. Huge digitization push. Telemedicine, connected devices, driving massive security needs. Highest projected CAGR in network security spending. Focusing there could pay off.
And emerging markets. Asia Pacific.
Right, fastest growing geography overall. A dedicated push there could boost growth beyond their traditional strongholds in North America and EMEA.
This all brings us to the huge leadership change. Gil Shwed, the founder, inventor of the firewall, steps aside after 30 plus years, moves to executive chairman in late 2024.
Massive moment. End of an era. And the new CEO, Nadav Zafrir, appointed December 2024. His background is fascinating.
Co-founder of Team 8, the cyber venture group, and crucially, former commander of IDF Unit 8200, Israel's elite cyber intelligence unit, established their cyber command.
Exactly. This isn't just a random appointment. It's a very deliberate signal, bringing in someone with deep VC insight into future tech and that attacker's mindset from Unit 8200.
The idea being to inject more aggression, more forward-thinking, into a traditionally conservative engineering-led culture. Understanding how attackers work to build better defenses.
That seems to be the rationale. Maybe even push towards more predictive or proactive security. They also brought in a new CTO, Jonathan Zanger, July 2025, also from Unit 8200, reinforces that shift.
The strategic vision is still centered on the AI-powered Infinity platform.
Yes, consolidation, prevention first. But the dynamic to watch is between CEO Zafrir and Executive Chairman Shwed. Shwed's presence brings continuity, deep knowledge. But does it limit Zafrir's ability to make really fundamental changes?
Potential for friction there.
It's a tangible risk. Investors need to watch for real signs of cultural and operational shifts. Will the new vision fully take hold, or will there be resistance? It's critical.
The board seems experienced, providing oversight. But yeah, the leadership dynamic is the big unknown.
Okay, let's pull it all together. Capital allocation, risks, valuation. This gives you the full investment picture. Checkpoint's capital allocation is very defining, disciplined, consistent, prioritizes shareholder returns.
Mostly through share buybacks, right? They don't pay a dividend.
Correct. They funnel huge amounts of cash into buybacks, something like $15 billion spent repurchasing 218 million shares since they started. They target around $325 million per quarter.
Wow. And they just added another $2 billion authorization in July 2024.
Yep. Shows total commitment to that strategy. Now, this dramatically reduces the share count, which gives a nice mechanical boost to earnings per share, EPS. Often makes EPS grow faster than actual net income.
So you have to look past the headline EPS number,
yeah.
See what's operational growth versus financial engineering.
Absolutely critical. This buyback focus also signals to the market mature ex-growth company, reinforces the value story, suggests management thinks buybacks are the best use of cash right now. But it might also cap the valuation multiple. Growth investors look for reinvestment in the business, not just buybacks.
And R&D spending, again, good absolute number, but maybe low percentage-wise compared to peers driving hard for innovation.
That's the lingering question. Is 15-17% of revenue enough R&D firepower in this incredibly fast-moving market?
They do have a fortress balance sheet, though. Almost $3 billion in cash and short-term investments as of June 30, 2025, and zero long-term debt.
Huge advantage. Provides massive stability and flexibility. They can fund buybacks, R&D, bolt-on M&A without needing outside money. Very resilient. Though the cash pile has come down a bit from over $3.5 billion in 2022 due to those buybacks and acquisitions.
Okay, let's talk risks. What are the big worries?
Number one, the report highlights, is technology disruption and competitive lag. The perception there are legacy players struggling to keep up with cloud-native, AI-driven security. If the cloud pivot with Infinity doesn't really take off, they risk becoming less relevant.
Then, market share erosion. If they keep growing slower than the market, that share loss will eventually hurt revenues and profits. Reversing that is job one for Zephyr.
Which leads to execution risk. Can they actually deliver on the Infinity Platform promise? Win big in cloud? Mm-hmm. Successfully integrate those acquisitions like Perimeter 81 and Variety so they add real value, not just complexity?
The leadership transition itself is a risk. Potential for uncertainty, internal friction, strategy shifts.
Definitely. And geopolitical risk. Being headquartered in Israel with major R&D there, regional conflict escalation could impact operations or at least market sentiment, even if direct financial impact is limited. It's a perception factor.
And finally, margin pressure. If the new CEO does invest more aggressively in growth,
those best-in-class margins could come down, maybe intentionally. But that could upset investors who bought the stock for that profitability. It's that balancing act again. Zephyr needs to manage expectations carefully if he plans to ramp up spending.
So how does all this translate into valuation? This is where the growth versus profitability divide really hits home.
Historically, Checkpoint's EV/EBITDA multiple has been in the, say, 12x to 23x range, median around 15.5x. As of late July 2025, it's about 21.2x, near the top of its own historical range. Sounds okay in isolation.
But compared to peers?
Totally different story. Checkpoint trades like a mature value stock. Its multiples are tiny compared to the growth players. TTM PE around 29x versus PanW over 100x, Fortinet in the 40s.
And CrowdStrike, off the charts on things like EV sales.
Yeah, maybe 27 by 28x EV sales. Price for hypergrowth, market share capture, future potential, not current gap profit.
So the market isn't being irrational. It's just valuing growth much, much more highly in this sector.
Exactly. Growth signals innovation, relevance, ability to keep up. For Checkpoint to get a higher multiple, a real re-rating, they need to show sustained faster growth, high single digits, maybe low double digits for several quarters, prove the pivot is working.
And Wall Street analysts are basically saying, show me, mostly hold ratings.
Yep. 15 holds versus 11 buys in the consensus. Price target suggests maybe 10% upside, no big re-rating expected soon. Some models even suggest it might be fully valued or slightly overvalued now, based purely on fundamentals, without assuming a major growth acceleration.
So investing in Checkpoint today is kind of a contrarian bet, betting against the market's obsession with pure growth in this sector.
It really is. A bet on the turnaround, a bet on efficiency, maybe a bet that the market will eventually value that profitability more, but definitely contrarian to the main trend right now.
Okay, let's wrap this up. Checkpoint Software Technologies, fundamentally a very strong company. Impressive profits, great cash flow, returns cash to shareholders. Operates in a critical high-growth market.
Absolutely. Solid foundation. But the whole story revolves around this critical pivot. Can they accelerate that modest growth? Can they fully embrace the cloud-native platform future and compete head-to-head with the speedsters?
And the new CEO, Nadav Zafrir, is the key catalyst. His job is to reignite growth, make Infinity a true platform winner, lead in modern security, while somehow trying to hang on to that amazing profitability.
It's a massive challenge, a high-stakes balancing act.
So the final thought for you, our listener, it's not just about Checkpoint's past performance. It's about his future direction. How does this bastion of profitability manage the tension between financial discipline and the need for aggressive investment to regain growth leadership?
Keep a really close eye on their security subscription revenue growth and, maybe even more importantly, those calculated billings figures. They'll be the early signs. Will they tell a story of transformation that justifies a higher valuation?
Or will Checkpoint remain a highly profitable, stable, but ultimately slower-moving value play in one of the most dynamic sectors out there?
Yeah.
Only time and execution under new leadership will tell.